just not pretty talk. And that's not just a long way of saying 3 days. It really happened like this. All right? You say, well, Brother Floyd, okay, I've got your point there. But these other people that have been celebrating this, they've got to have a reason for this. I mean, where did they blow it? What's the problem? Do they have any reason to believe they're right? They have a good reason, but a wrong reason. Let's look at it ourselves. The Gospel of John, how did we ever get the tradition that our Passover lamb was killed on the wrong day? You see? Oh, my goodness, for 1,500 years, God made a mistake. He should have had the Passover lamb killed on the 15th. Oh, my God, no. Praise God. Beloved, John chapter 19, listen carefully. The setting here is Christ is on the cross. I ought to throw one thing out real quick. This is a free one. The Synoptic Gospels, that is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all use Jewish hours, like the third hour, the ninth hour, the 12th. But John wrote it. See, the Romans were in control of the country, and the Romans used our kind of days, like starting the day at midnight. John uses the hours for the Romans, so that when John would say the sixth hour, he would mean like 6 o'clock in the morning. You see what I'm getting at? John's gospel uses our type hours. The others all use the Jewish type hours. So that'll help you, keep you from being confused as you compare these scriptures. But listen carefully, beloved. Verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, which is nothing more than a sour wine, he said, Tetelestai. Tetelestai, which means it is finished. Or, really, really and truly, the best way to tell that to you today is, debt paid in full. It's been paid. I've canceled their debt, Father. Hallelujah. And he bowed his head, gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation. All right, stop. Let's take one quick look at this final week. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, satisfying and fulfilling Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, on the 10th day of Nisan, the day they selected the Passover lamb for sacrifice, is the day Jesus rode into Jerusalem, fulfilling the decree of Artaxerxes that we discussed last week, to the day. A prophecy of 483 years fulfilled to the day. On 10th Nisan. Then, on the Jewish calendar, the 14th was the day they killed the Passover. All right? Then began the week, and we're going to see that in Scripture today, of unleavened bread, which began on the next day. All right? This is on Thursday. Now, you see, actually, I knew that was Thursday because I started with him rising on Sunday morning and working backwards. I just happened to draw it this way. That's how I ended up at Thursday. I started there and went back for 3 days and three nights. That's how I knew it had to be a Thursday. All right? So, the 15th, of course, is Friday, and that was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Leaven in the Scripture stands for sin. And during this week, they were to eat bread without leaven. All right? Without sin, so to speak. Christ said, I'm the bread of life. Take me into you. And so they were to eat bread that had no sin in it, showing that he was a sinless sacrifice. See, it's a prophecy that that Messiah would be sinless. See, everything just prophesying Jesus. All right, the 16th would be Saturday, the Sabbath, S-A-B. The 17th was a big day, right? Resurrection Day. But we don't know that yet. We're going to see that the 17th was a special day in a few minutes. Then there was the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st, and the week came to an end on the 21st. This then, from the 15th to the 21st, is the feast, F-E-A-S-T, or week, you find it both ways in Scripture, of unleavened bread. And that's our Savior. Oh, my goodness, have you ever seen the Jews' unleavened bread? Have you ever seen what they eat? It's corrugated. It's like crackers. And they eat it all the time at their feast. It's like this, only it's rounded off more at the top. This is rounded. And it's got holes all in it. And as they bake it, the tops get cooked more, than down in the valleys. And so it's striped. It's browner up here than down in there. It's white down here and brown there. And it's got holes all in it. The holes representing the piercings of our Savior. And by His stripes, we are healed. They just don't realize what they're doing. So now that you know that and you get a chance to talk to one of your Jewish friends, you might bring that little point up. Hallelujah. Now, back to the point. Why did they blow it? Listen carefully. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation. Now, that means it was the day they prepared for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the day before this. See, here's the day of Unleavened Bread, so it's the day before it. It was the day of preparation. They're preparing for this. This meant they had to take all the yeast out of their homes and prepare their unleavened bread. That the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath. Oh, now wait a minute. Let's see. They don't want the bodies on the cross the next day, which is a Sabbath. Oh, you know what? We need to know something. We need a piece of information. We need to be armed. The Jews didn't just have 52 Sabbaths a year. And we're going to study and read in Leviticus 23 today, in just a few moments, real quickly, that the Jews, in fact, had seven extra Sabbaths. Seven extra Sabbaths. They're called the Feast of the Jews. Seven of them. In other words, the Jews had as many as 59 Sabbaths in a year. And we're going to see that some of these never fell on a Saturday. The Jews regulate their calendar such that two of these always have to fall on a day other than Saturday. So you can see that most people said, now let's see, it says here Jesus was on, they didn't want to leave him on the cross the next day because it was the Sabbath. So that was Saturday, so therefore he was killed on Friday. And you say, hey, that sounds great. That's right. That's why they arrived at. That's exactly how they got it. They didn't read the part in parentheses. Let's us read it. For that Sabbath day was a high day. Oh. These extra seven Sabbaths during the year, and I'll just show you a couple of them. Look. We're going to read and see that the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread was a Sabbath. A high Sabbath. Not a Saturday, a high day. And their calendar is regulated so that it will always fall on a day other than Saturday. Also, the last day in that week was one of the seven high Sabbaths that God gave them. A day of rest, a holy convocation. And so all of a sudden we see the key. They forgot to look and see that it was the high Sabbath and didn't realize what that meant. Beloved, we're going to see that Friday is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It was the high day, the high Sabbath. This is high Sabbath, that is regular Sabbath. And that's what they've overlooked. That is what they have overlooked. All right. So with all that, we need now to take a quick look. Let me just check my scripture and see where I want to run from here. Turn with me to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23. Honored this calendar and will honor it to the day. What you're about to see unfold during the rest of this lesson and next week is the prophetic history of the Jewish people. And we're there too. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. All right? We'll show you here in Scripture where a holy convocation is the same thing as a Sabbath. As a Sabbath. All right? You'll see it in a few minutes. Verse 3, 6 days shall work be done. The seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. So we see here God equating the word holy convocation with Sabbath. All right, so we've now seen Him put up 52 Sabbaths, holy convocations. All right, verse 4. It says, then that ye shall do no work therein, verse 3, for it is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month, all right, that's Nisan. It used to be the seventh month. He changed it. In the first month, at evening, is the Lord's Passover. And we have read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that Christ is our Passover. All right? And the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days, from the 15th to the 21st, 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day, the 15th, ye shall have a holy convocation, a high Sabbath, a special Sabbath, you see. All right? Ye shall do no servile work therein. All right. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, saying to them, when you are coming to the land that I give you, listen to this, it's going to blow your minds. Ye shall reap the harvest thereof. And when you bring a sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest to the priest, and he, the priest, shall wave the sheaf before the Lord and be accepted for you on the next day after the Sabbath. Oh, goodness gracious, a special day. We better get it. And it says, on the day after the Sabbath. It didn't say high Sabbath. See, we've got two Sabbaths staring us in the face. That's the high Sabbath. We better put that up there. That's the high day, the 15th. But the 16th is the regular Sabbath. And it says there, on the day after the Sabbath, which is Sunday, Sunday the 17th. We got a special day on Sunday the 17th. He says, bring a sheaf, and this is their, this is a sheaf out of their barley harvest. It's a sheaf out of their barley harvest. And they bring a sheaf, and they bring it to the priest, and the priest waves it before the Lord. He says, dear Lord, in effect, here's what he said, Lord, your servant here is bringing the first fruit of his harvest, thanking you in advance for the successful harvest. That's good doctrine. That's teaching us to thank God for what we're praying for before he gives it to us. You ask God for something, you talk to him about it, and you say, Father, now I'm just thanking you right now for answering this prayer in advance. I'll thank you again later, but I'm thanking you now. That's good teaching. All right, beloved. First fruit of the barley harvest. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Praise God forever. God, 1,500 years ahead of time, says something special is going to happen on Sunday the 17th. He said something for 1,500 years, something special was going to happen about a Passover lamb on the 14th day of the first month. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians 15, right in the middle of it. Christ, the first fruit. Jesus is the first fruit. And sure enough, for 1,500 years, these people were waving a sheaf, bringing it to the priest, and he was waving this sheaf. They didn't know what they were doing. I mean, they missed these deep truths. They knew that they were thanking him for their successful barley harvest. See, this is the spring of their calendar. Nisan, for us, falls in either March or April. The Jews' calendar, the Jews use the moon for their... Oh, praise the Lord, may as well show you that. The Jews use the moon to regulate their year. There are 12 new moons a year, every 29 and a half days. So the Jews use a month of 29 days and 30 days. 29 days, 30 days. And they end up with a year of 354 days. Well, we are on a solar year of 365 and a fourth, which means the Jewish calendar drifts every year from ours by 11 and one-fourth days. You say, my goodness, it looks like pretty soon they'd be celebrating their spring feast in January. They would, except their 12th month is called Adar, A-D-A-R. And seven times every 19 years, the Jews add an extra month to their year. It's the 13th month, and it's called the Adar. And after they do this and come back to the 19th time, if you'll try that, you'll see that they'll be right on us. You can see that after approximately, they're doing it approximately, say, every third year. So you can see after 3 years, they would adjust, and that would put them almost on us. They'd be off 3 3/4 days. And then it drifts for 3 more years, and they get off and off. So their month vacillates compared to our calendar. Sometimes this month, Nisan, is in our March, and other times it falls in April. Okay? But they do get it finally shifted back to our calendar, and then it starts drifting immediately again. So that they don't end up celebrating their spring vacations and spring feast in January. All right. So, beloved, this is the spring. This is springtime. But Christ, when he rose from the dead, this just said he was the first fruit. And that's accurate. He did rise from the dead on Sunday the 17th. What does it mean? It means he was the first man to ever die, be brought back to life, never to die again. The first fruits of the resurrection. Other people have been raised from the dead, but they died again. Lazarus, Jairus' daughter. Elijah raised someone from the dead. Elisha raised someone, but they died again. Jesus didn't. But do you recall reading something else? It says that after his resurrection, and that's a key word, after his resurrection, saints were seen raised from the dead, walking around the cities. Their graves were opened. Do you ever wonder what happened to that bunch again? You know, what happened to those guys that got raised from the dead, walked around the city? Let's go to the type. It was not just one stalk of barley that was being waved on First Fruit Day. It was a sheaf. It was a sheaf. I tell you, when Christ ascended, he took them with him. That was the first fruit sheaf. He was the first fruit himself. Yeah, it gets hairy, doesn't it? Woo! It gets strong. He was the first, and after he was raised, they were resurrected, showing you and me that it's really going to happen. Hallelujah. And so, beloved, my point is this, and I want you to listen carefully. I'm about to make a point that'll blow you out of your chairs. The 17th day of the first month. Beloved, if you go back to Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, it says the flood began on the 17th day, the 17th day of the second month. But if you continue to Genesis chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, you will see that the ark rested on Mount Ararat on the 17th day of the seventh month. And that was before the Exodus, when God said, change your calendar and make the first month, the seventh month, your first month. Beloved, my point, the same day Jesus was raised from the dead is the same day the ark rested on the Mount Ararat. Furthermore, the Jews began to run. They killed the Passover lamb on the 14th. They made their run on the 15th. If you read very carefully and mark in your scriptures very prudently, you will find that they camped the night of the 15th, they camped the night of the 16th, and on the 17th day of Nisan, Abib, they went through the Red Sea and the chariots of Egypt were crushed. Beloved, the point, on the 17th day of Nisan, the renewed earth emerged from the waters of the flood. On the 17th day of Nisan, the redeemed people of God emerged from the waters of the Red Sea. And on the 17th day of Nisan, Jesus Christ, our first fruit, was resurrected from the dead. God, there's no accident. That's planning. That's looking ahead. And God is planning it perfectly. Just right. Here we have the 14th, the day of Passover. We have 15, 16, and the 17th day is first fruit. Now, let me make this clear. That's the day of first fruit, because there's a week called first fruits also. First fruit. And, beloved, it was on a Sunday. And we got people hung up, you know, whether we ought to be worshiping on Saturday or Sunday. No, God prophesied with the Jewish calendar that something very special was going to happen on Sunday. It was the day of first fruit. Something special's coming. It's a prophecy. In other words, all of this is prophetic. Jesus literally fulfilled. And I want you to notice that everything was fulfilled to the day and the month, because we're going to see that we can tell when Jesus is coming again, because we've got calendar days that mark it. We can't get the day, but we're going to get real close. I mean, within 4 or 5 days. Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden, where's my scripture? Take a quick look with me, beloved, at I've just got to share this. Look at verse 12 here in Leviticus 23. Ye shall offer that day when you wave the sheath a he-lamb without blemish in the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. Well, we know what that he-lamb without blemish represents. That's Jesus. But listen to this wild thing. And a meal offering. Now, if you have a King James, it says meat. But that's okay. They understood in 1611 that that meant meal. Because you can tell it's meal. Listen to what's in it. The meal offering shall be 2/10 parts of fine flour mixed with oil. Fine flour mixed with oil. That's about Jesus too. The fine flour represents his body. He says, this bread is my body. And it was made of a fine flour. In other words, beloved, there was no coarseness in Christ's personality. No unevenness in him. He was a perfect personality. And he was mingled with oil. That oil is the Holy Spirit. It was all of his personality was just completely mingled with the oil of the Holy Spirit. But listen to this wild part here. It says, and the drink offering also shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hen. A hen was about a pint. Did you get it? They offered a sacrifice of bread and wine. The Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine. It's always, 1,500 years ahead of time, it's always been there. Hallelujah. This was a high day, the 15th, the first day of the week of unleavened bread. This was a high day, the last day of the week of unleavened bread. There are seven of them. Those are two. They were told to count from tomorrow after the Sabbath, the day of first fruit, seven complete Sabbaths, 7 times 7, and on the day after that Sabbath, which obviously would be a Sunday, was another special day. I see I can write that 21st day up there. I'm going to do it anyway. And so it said it's... So since it's the day after the seventh Sabbath, it had 50 days from the day of first fruit, if you count the day of first fruits. And that's important. The Jewish way of thinking, they always counted the first day and the last day. And we found out last week, you see, 50 days after first fruit, 50 days after the resurrection, which is Pentecost. Pentecost. And that fell on a Sunday because it was the day after the Sabbath, the seventh Sabbath. It was called, it had several names. It was the Feast of First Fruits. Now, don't confuse that with the day of first fruit, you see. This was the Feast of First, or the Feast of Weeks. You'll see it referred to in the Scripture because it was there were 7 weeks complete. And isn't it fantastic that, and I just want you to see that, as we said last week, this was then God's little prophetic picture in advance of what was going to happen. Sure enough, 50 days after Christ's resurrection, the Holy Spirit fell at Pentecost. The Jews were celebrating something for 1,500 years. They didn't really know what they were celebrating for. And even today, on the day of Pentecost, the Jews give each other gifts. And they don't really know why. The Orthodox Jews give each other a gift. Because we were going to receive a gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's on a Sunday. And this was on a Sunday. Prophesied 1,500 years that something super was going to happen on a Sunday. And let me just say this again. As you go back and read the Old Testament, notice the number of important things that happened on the eighth day. All through Scripture. Let me give one example real quickly. God rested on the Sabbath, the seventh day, and the next day was the beginning after the rest. The number 8 is for new beginnings. There were 8 people on the ark when Noah got on the ark. There were 8. And when they came out of that ark, that was a new beginning. The number 8 represents a new beginning in Scripture. He said, go and replenish the earth. Start over. In Leviticus chapter 8, the priests were dedicated and consecrated. They were, after that ceremony, they went down to the tabernacle. Well, they were already there. And they stayed there and did not begin their ministry for 7 days. After 7 days, the next day they began their ministry of interceding for the people. The eighth day was their new beginning as priests. All through Scriptures. And I just want you to start noticing how many super things happened on the eighth day. Now, listen. What is the eighth day? It's the same thing as the first day of the week. It's the day after the seventh day, isn't it, Brother Ivy? You see? So that's obviously Sunday. And we never realized it. I mean, there's always in the Old Testament it's referring to something special happening on the eighth day. And we just forget that that's a new... You know, we say, so what? So what? So it was Sunday. And all through the Scriptures, God was telling us, something special is going to happen on Sunday. A new beginning. And it did. First, that atonement was completely satisfied. Sin was completely judged and settled on the day Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Let me tell you, praise God for the day of sacrifice, the day that the blood was actually shed. But that would have been meaningless. The most important day in history, the most important day in history is not the day that Christ was killed. That's the second most important day. Because if he hadn't been resurrected from the dead, he wasn't really Christ. The most important day is First Fruit Day, when Christ proved that he had power over Satan. And furthermore, it proved that God accepted that sacrifice because he raised him. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians, says, if in chapter 15, he says, if Christ is not was not resurrected from the dead, we're the most miserable people in the whole world and the biggest fools that have ever lived. We're resurrecting somebody that didn't make it. The day of Pentecost, the day of Pentecost is a super special day. That is the 50th day. And so, the day of Pentecost, beloved, listen carefully, is the same day that Moses gave the law. God uses the same day, time and time and time again, to show that something super is going to happen. It's prophecy, just prophecy, prophecy. And if they began to run on the 15th and they actually went through the water on the 17th day of the first month. Let's just write that down. Look, first month. All right, if we start on the 17th day, then there's 30 days in the month back here. And that means there's 13 days left in that month. That's first month. Well, the second month would add 30 days to this, which would be 43 days. Therefore, you can readily see that the third month is where the 50th day would fall. Do you get the point? It will happen in the third month. Exodus 19, listen carefully. In the third month, the children of Israel, when the children of Israel had gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. And then it talks about the Lord sending Moses up on the mount, orally receiving the Ten Commandments. He came down and told the people about it through the elders, and they said, oh, we can do that easy. We can keep the Ten Commandments. There's nothing to keeping these Ten Commandments. I like that. I can write them down on a piece of paper and memorize them. It's wonderful. See, and God said, go to your tents and stay there for 3 days, and don't you do anything but think about what you just said. Said, men and women, don't know intercourse between the husband and wife. I mean, I want you to strictly meditate on the depth of what you just said. You don't know what you've said. And he brought them back, and God, in effect, said, you think that you can keep the Ten Commandments? Maybe you didn't hear Moses properly when he said them, so I will recite them for you. And the Scriptures tell us in Deuteronomy, that chapter 10, that God then recited the Ten Commandments to them out of a ball of fire. The mountain was erupting. There was thunder, lightning, black. And he starts saying, thou shalt love man. And it said it was so bad, it sounded like thunder, and it was so terrible that even Moses got scared and shook all over. And Moses was used to talking to God face to face, so to speak. He couldn't see his face, but he heard God's voice right in front of him, as no man has ever done. Moses just was a friend with God. And so the point is this, that you can see that the 50th day happened in the third month. And the Jews, for hundreds of years, have been celebrating that the law was given to Moses on the day, 50 days after first fruit, that you and I call Pentecost. Now that excites me, and I'll tell you why. It is so exciting that God gave the law, and then on the same day and same month, gave the Holy Spirit, which was the power by which we could keep the law. See, we cannot keep the commandments in our own strength and power. But Romans 8:4 says, when you and I are walking in the Spirit and being guided and led by the Holy Spirit, we can produce the righteousness demanded by the law. Look, the Ten Commandments can't produce righteousness. It just stands there and says, this is what it takes. If you're going to try and get to God on your own merit, here's what you have to do. Keep these Ten Commandments perfectly. And people thought they understood that. Jesus showed up at the Sermon on the Mount and says, wait a minute, fellas, you don't really understand this quite well enough. It doesn't just mean physically doing it. It means thinking about it, too. Now, they should have been able to tell that from the Ten Commandments. The Tenth Commandment said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Well, you do that in here, in your mind. And you don't covet your neighbor's house and car. See, he taught then that it was also what was in your mind. God, Jesus didn't really change the Ten Commandments at all. They just didn't comprehend the depth of it. And he did a better job of explaining it. That's what he was doing there on the Sermon on the Mount, really expanding upon the Sermon on the Mount. But he didn't change it. He just showed them that they were really missing a lot of points there, that they were just looking at the Ten Commandments very shallowly. All right. And so God gave us the power to keep the law on the same day He gave the law. I like that. Now then, I want to go beyond this. Beloved, chapter 23 of Leviticus. We saw that there were some special days.